observing the boldness of Peter and John and perceiving them to be uneducated, ordinary men, the leaders and elders and scribes were amazed, and they recognized them as companions of Jesus. These are the words written by St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13. Why were Peter and John bold? All the disciples abandoned the Lord when he was arrested in the garden. They all ran away. And of all the disciples, only John was there at the foot of the cross. And here they were very bold. Why were they bold? The Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They were open to receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there they were. Courage is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they could have cared less whether they're going to be arrested and crucified. They were filled with courage. Courage, one of the seven gifts. Fortitude. Now, in our gospel, according to St. Mark, when Mary Magdalene ran and told the disciples that she had saw the risen Lord, they didn't believe her. And those two disciples that went on their way to Emmaus, that's who Jesus is talking about here, Mark is talking about here in this gospel. They weren't going out to get pizza and going to bring it back. They were done. They were out of there. They were leaving, never to come back. Because when they saw Jesus on the way to Emmaus, it said that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. They said, they stopped and they said, well, we were hoping he was the one. They were leaving. And when they came back, it says, to tell the others, we saw the Lord, they didn't believe them either. And we're also told in this gospel account that Jesus rebuked the disciples for their unbelief and their hardness of their hearts. Hardness of their hearts. It is the hardness of a heart that leads to unbelief, isn't it? And what leads to a hardened heart? The big elephant in the room? The mother of all vices? Pride. It's really the mother of all verses. It says, it's at the root of all sins. Pride is. I just ran into a young person. I won't even tell you if it was a young man or a young woman. I might slip up and say. But I ran into this young person recently. And I was told that this person had just left the church not long ago. So I ran into this person. And I'm not a shy man. I really am not. I may have been shy years ago, but I'm not shy anymore. So I walked up to this person and said, and this is the icebreaker always. Hi! That's a good icebreaker. So when you say, hi, well, they're going to look at you and kind of smile and say, well, hi. And it was Easter. So I said, how about them Huskers? No. I said, what mass did you go to today? And it was still early enough, this person could go to mass. And immediately this person said, well, I left the church. And I said, why? And this person said, well, I disagree with some of the teachings of the church, like gay marriage. And my next question is, now when you come up and receive communion, what is it that you receive? Well, the Catholic Church teaches, now wait a minute, I don't care about it. Yes, I care about the Catholic Church, but I want to know what you think. Well, the Catholic Church says it's the body of Christ. And I says, in your heart of hearts, is it the body of Christ? It's just a symbol. Well, this person thinks it's a symbol. I said, it's not. And then I talked about what marriage is. And it's 4,000 years have been in the moral code since the time of Abraham, 4,000 plus years. But it was a hardened heart I was dealing with. A hardened heart. And I just said, ask for the truth. asked for the truth. When I was newly ordained, I was spent my first 2 years in St. Cecilia's in Hastings. And I did hospital rounds, and you'd get the Catholic list. And so you'd be admitted, and there was this box, Catholic, Protestant, other, Jewish, other. So you would, I don't know where the New Agers, what they, or I guess it's other, but this woman checked Catholic, and so it comes on the computer-generated list. So this woman came in, and she just had a baby, her first. And so she was on the list. So I knocked on the door, I opened, and I had literally two feet into her room. And this woman looked at me, "What are you doing in here?" Of course, she had a much lower voice, higher voice. "I don't want a priest. I left the church. What are you doing in here? I didn't ask for a priest. I don't want a priest." She was really angry. I should have had a bulletproof vest on. And I just held up the sheet and I said, "You must have checked the Catholic thing because you're lame." "Oh, yeah. I checked the Catholic box. I grew up Catholic." So I knew she was going to go on and on. So I was just, I wasn't going to go a second step in. I just was going to stay where I was at her doorway. And I was just going to let her talk. It's a great thing when you let people talk. "Yeah, I checked the Bible. I grew up Catholic, and I left the church, and now I have this beautiful baby boy, and this baby needs God, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and he needs the Lord." And I said, "Well, what religion is your husband?" "Oh, and it was one of the mainline Protestant denominations." "Is he going to go to his denomination?" "No, I don't agree with his church either. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a church that agrees with me, and then I'm going to join it." That's what she said. And so you know that passage of scripture that says, "Don't worry about what you're going to say, but the Holy Spirit." So I'm the Holy Spirit, help me. I don't need something to say 5 minutes from now; it'll be too late. I need something right now. Help me. And it just came to me. I said, "Pray for the truth. That's what you really want anyway. God made us for truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Pray for the truth. And then if God leads you to something that's true and you don't quite get it, that's understanding. It's a separate gift from the Holy Spirit. Then truth is knowledge, wisdom, understanding, courage, piety, right judgment, fear of the Lord. So ask for understanding, but first pray for the truth." And I left. Because just because we disagree with something doesn't mean we're right. I don't agree that 1 + 1 = 2. I think it's 5. Well, I can think that, but does it make it 5? It's 2. So there's religious truth. Jesus is the one that says, he's the one that says, "I am the way, in the truth, in the light, not me. I am the way and the truth and life." John 14:6. And he's the one that said to Peter, "You are a rock. Upon this rock I'll build my church." He didn't say churches. The church is the body of Christ. How many bodies does a head have? One. It's the bride of Christ. How many brides does a husband have? One. And so he is the one who said, "You are rock, upon this rock I'll build my church." And then he goes on to say, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." And he gives him the keys. He says, giving the keys back 2,000 plus years ago meant a lot. It meant you're in charge. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So by now, you might have already guessed what one of the 9 essential characteristics of being open to the Holy Spirit is. It's humility. Humility. The great St. Augustine, who Father Benedict Rochelle mentioned there, he said he was a great psychologist, and he was a psychologist before anyone knew what psychology was. said that the three most important things in the spiritual life are, and you might want to jot these things down, the three most important things in the spiritual life are, number one, humility. Number two, humility. And number three, humility. So in my next conference, I'm going to dive first into humility. Now, it's not the first one listed by Father Philippe. I think he had openness to developing a prayer life, but if we're prideful, why would we pray? It really is the most important one. We're going to talk about that one first, humility first, because it honestly is the key that opens the door to these other eight needed to receive and be open to God the Holy Spirit, which is love and mercy of God the Father through the Son. It is humility that leads to an open heart. You know that fresh wineskin? You put new wine, that's the Holy Spirit. You don't put it in an old sclerotic wineskin because the fermentation as it expands, bursts it. You put it into a new wineskin, a humble heart that is able to expand and stretch and dilate. And that's how we grow in holiness. It is humility leads to this open, humble, pliable, docile heart that leads to the influx of God the Holy Spirit. It is the leaven that helps us grow.